2020 doesn't have to be a total wash. You could always learn how to play the piano. With Piano for All, you can download this comprehensive package that teaches you how to read music, how to learn through listening to music. It gives you 500 audio lessons, video lessons, over 10 hours of video time. And if you think you're like, I don't know, this is an online class, I don't know how good it is, they have the best testimonials. And that means Piano for All is very reliable. If you go to their website, all of their testimonials are verifiable. And you can even request email addresses and talk directly to students to find out what they think of Piano for All. So normally this is $79, but right now, when you go to apocnowpod.pianonumber4all.hop.clickbank.net, we will have that link in the show notes. But when you click that link, you will get this $79 course for just $39. That's an all-in-one package, ebooks, videos, and audio. It's worth it. It'll give you something to do until the end of the year. And who knows, you could emerge from the lockdown knowing how to play piano, and you'll be a hit at parties. We will have parties again, and you will be the center of attention because you'll know piano. So click that link in the show notes and sign up today. With the election less than 2 weeks away and coronavirus cases are on the rise, goth kids everywhere are just trying to have a good Halloween. But what will happen once Halloween passes and the U.S. decides its democratic fate? Will November usher in the
apocalypse? Now?
Blessings, apocalypse disciples. I will be your charismatic cult leader on the journey into the end times. But make sure you recruit 5 other people by the end of the week. Hi, I'm Joanna Van Thine, actor, comedian, podcaster, filmmaker. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at J-O Pincushion. And we are so close to an election in the U.S. How are you feeling? Who are you voting for? Did you write in Kanye West? Please tell me you didn't. Give me a call, 920-474-6763. Leave me a voicemail and I'll share it right here. Is anyone else watching The Vow on HBO? It's the documentary series about Nexium, N-X-I-V-M, that multi-level marketing cult. Wow, it's giving me some PTSD flashbacks to college, I'll tell ya. Yeah, while I was watching, it was a little bit uncomfortable. I'm fascinated by how other people manipulate groups of people, because I think because I've experienced it in my life. And it happens in all aspects of life when you really think about it. It happens in religion, politics, self-help, and take improv, for example. A lot of people believe that improv has helped them grow as a person, which I'm one of those people. It has definitely helped me as a comedian, and as it has helped my communication skills. And you want to be a part of that community. You audition, you take the classes, you want to be there, you want to make friends. And then there's this other part of communities like that where other people get taken advantage of by individuals that are either hiding within the organization or are running the organization. But I'm not accusing anyone in the improv community of that. But it's a thing that happens in a lot of different groups. And I always talk about how I crave a community with a lot of the stuff I do. I'm an artist that doesn't like to do anything by themselves. I like to collaborate and make friends. I feel like being creative is one of the only ways I can actually communicate with humans and they understand me. Seriously, like, that's why I do what I do. But at the same time, I know the ugly side of community. And when people are tightly knit together, it's easy for other people to get taken advantage of, or to learn how to take advantage of other people. And that's something that I struggle with, is that I want to belong to these communities, but I also don't fucking trust them, because things like this happen within communities. And it's really heartbreaking when you believe in something and then something is exposed about a community, or you realize something about a community and it just shatters your view of something that you really enjoyed or something you really believed in. I can relate to that crippling feeling. And so watching The Vow, I mean, on HBO, if you're not watching it, check it out. If you're into that kind of thing, but it is crazy. That's why it's come kind of late releasing this episode, because I've just been watching that. I just like reopening old wounds. It's something I do. Anyway, the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Have you gone there yet? Go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. Find your next favorite podcast. Today, I brought back my dear, dear friend, Corey Annotato from the podcast, Teach Me Something Good. It's his new podcast. When he was on the show before in 2017, he was actually on episode 10. If you want to go back and listen to that, I could have a link to that in the show notes. In Less Tech, it was a brand new show. Corey didn't have a podcast at the time, but we have collaborated on this podcast network and he's been a big help. And they recently did a spooky episode on their episode. Let me explain Teach Me Something Good. It is a wonderful show hosted by Corey and his friend Katie Overbay, and they discuss different topics. You know, they talked about bananas one episode. They talked about diseases. They talk about different organ. It's very informative. If you're a nerd and you just want to clean your house and listen to other nerds basically recite a report on a topic, that's something that I like to do on a Saturday. I'm not a loser. But yeah, it's a great show. So they did a spooky version that I listened to, and the two topics that they talked about are two of my like favorite ones. One involves, you know, Satan, and the other one involves the human body. Two things that really freak me out. So again, I like to open old wounds with everything that I do. So I enjoy it. So I brought Corey on just to shoot the shit, because again, I'm trying to enjoy October. I'll let you guys know this. So next week, I'm not going to have an episode because my dog is turning 5 and I'm throwing a Zoom birthday party for my dog. It's part of it is that it's going to be, I'm going to invite my nephews and my friends' kids, and we're going to play Halloween games. I'm just really bored and I just want to do something fun for Halloween. And I know my sister-in-law doesn't love Halloween. So like, it's my responsibility to bring the Halloween into my family's life. So that's what I'm doing. So next week I will be doing a Zoom birthday party with my family, so I won't have an episode. And then the following week, we're going to bring my boyfriend, Steve Saturn, on, because we talked in 2017. We did a Halloween episode where it was the two of us sitting down, and I think we should do it again to talk about what it's been like living during this lockdown together, how our relationship is. Put him on the spot a few times. I don't know. Tune in, we'll find out. But yeah, I'm trying to take it easy. So I was like, Corey, let's just shoot the shit. You know, we both have good equipment. It'll sound good. People will listen. And I just want to promote his show. And I think you need to listen to it. Okay. So listen to this awesome interview with my buddy, my pal, Corey Annotato. Oh, guess who's back?
It's back Corey. Again. Hello.
Corey is back. He's my friend. Well, I remember the last time you were on the show, you said the apocalypse would be a mistake, and here we are.
Ta-da!
Someone accidentally ate a bat. Plandemic. I said it. Oh, he has just pushed his microphone away, and the interview is over.
I'll come back. God.
I was just asking how you were, and you just have this look of trepidation.
I'm tired, and I hate everyone.
Yeah, I feel that hard. I like to count the number of Karen moments I come across in a day. Ooh. Which I will be honest with you, I don't love the term Karen, but okay. I have encountered a few.
Yeah.
Did you say that I reminded you like a Karen, but like I use my powers for good?
Yeah, you have like Karen energy, but you use it for good and not evil.
Yeah, well, I was going to Goodwill to drop off like a Papasan chair that I don't use anymore.
Nice.
And there was a line, so I was like, I'm going to do the thing that I do, and I'm just going to go in. So I just went in, because I was like, I don't know if you were going to take this. So I went into the Goodwill, and they were like, oh, we don't take that. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. So I didn't have to wait in that line. Nice. And this woman was like, you know, there's a line. I was like, oh, I was just checking to see if they took this, but thank you for checking up on me. Fucking bitch. Yeah, no, like, mind your goddamn business. I was like, I was in a hurry. I just took it. I was like, I'm not even leaving it. So, yeah. Like, what was the point of you saying that to me? Other than
I went to Wawa for lunch, and there was this young lady who did not have a mask on, first and foremost.
Mm.
She then ordered food and didn't use the hand sanitizer on the touchscreen.
Oh God!
And then she went to go pay in cash. And
so
then
she doesn't believe anything's going on.
And then she went to the lotto machine to get herself some scratchies.
Oh.
And then loudly shouted, if you put in too much money, how you get your money back? And a manager came over and said, you can print out a voucher and you can cash in that voucher for change. And also, where is your mask? Oh, I left it in the car. Well, let me get you one.
It's like, and well, go in your car and get it, you idiot.
The nice, patient manager went to get her a mask.
We're just going to talk about all the people that annoy us. This is the only. There was a guy at a bagel store, an older man, didn't have a mask on, and my boyfriend went to get his order, and he was like, I don't want to go by the cashier because this guy doesn't have a mask on.
Yeah.
And the guy was just like, I'm not putting it on. And it's just like, ugh.
I was at Safeway maybe a couple weeks ago, and a woman, she was an old lady. She had a mask on, and she was walking in front of me, and we were kind of, you know, when you start drifting with someone because you're both going to the same place. She had to sneeze, so she stopped, pulled her mask down, and sneezed into the open.
My
and
God, people.
I couldn't register what was happening because I don't think my brain would allow that kind of dumb horseshit to be possible.
She didn't want to sneeze into her mask, Corey. All those boogers on her face.
That's what the mask is for.
Wow, you win. You won this battle.
I mean, is it truly winning?
No, people, and we're all on edge so much that it's, I mean, if someone from Philly, like, I'm ready to just, like, I'm like, oh, come on, chat!
Oh, yeah, I'm not a very, like, violent person, but, man, just these past
fuck
couple months.
Find out?
Exactly, I want to, someone's getting fucked up if they cross me.
See, that's how everyone feels, it's so sad.
Yeah.
It can't be healthy.
It's certainly not healthy. No. Nothing is healthy right now. There is no healthy outlet for anything.
Except podcasting.
Nope, not healthy at all.
I was trying to do a segue, you asshole.
Oh, shit. Well, listen to my podcast, but also it's harmful to my mental well-being, I'm sure.
Yeah, my podcast is definitely harmful to my well-being because I talk about the end of the world, and who would have thought that would make me, like, inflame my depression just a little bit.
At this point, when you say that your podcast talks about the end of the world, it's basically the news. It's current events.
I don't know. This podcast is not news, everyone. We are not.
It's fake
journalists.
News.
It is fake news, but I specialize in fake news.
This is a good point.
Since college, I've been specializing
absolutely
in fake
news. Absolutely, you did, with your little Daily Show ripoff.
Yeah. Well, they didn't
kind of
the cool kids had that joined a sketch group and started making videos didn't invite me, so I had to make my own stuff, so that's what I came up with.
No, I get that. The cool kids who were rejected once over didn't let me hang out either, so I had to go on the radio and do dumb
well,
shit.
Well, like quote-unquote cool kids that we're talking about actually aren't cool at all.
No they're not.
They were like the upper tier of like a theater group, so
I'm really glad. Like, so I've been getting involved a lot in my local Baltimore improv scene.
Yeah, it's great.
Which, I mean, it's awesome. It's been very nice. They're a lot of them are very nice people, but boy, is it a whole lot like college.
Oh my god, yeah, improv classes. Oh god, it's whole thing. It's. I'm not gonna say the theater group. It's the theater group all over again.
Yeah, and I was college theater group adjacent the whole time. Like, only I was
because like people like me still interacted with the outside world.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. I was friends with all of the people in yeah. the theater group, but I had enough sense to know not to go balls
what
to the wall.
What are you saying about me, Corey?
Girl, you put your time in.
They put a blindfold on me and they drove me around for 3 hours and they did like weird induction things that are very problematic and we're yeah. seeing the results of that now.
I am a minority anyway, who grew up in North Philadelphia. Yeah, I'm not
if
letting
anyone
kidnap me.
Go to LaSalle and knows what we're talking about. Yes, we're throwing shade.
Oh, it's dark in here. That's how much shade we're throwing.
Oh, man.
But no, I grew up in North Philly. I'm not letting anyone blindfold me and take me anywhere. Uh-uh. I have too much self-preservation for that.
I wanted friends really badly, so I did things that I regret now.
Same.
We all just want friends.
It's so true.
Do you feel very isolated right now, even though you're interacting with this group online?
I don't feel so isolated, like... Katie is part of that, my co-host on my podcast, Teach Me Something Good. Find it on your local podcast provider or at teachme.show.
You're supposed to plug the network.
Oh, yeah. Part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network.
Yeah, that's why we're here is to tell people about your wonderful, lovely podcast. But yeah, your co-host is also involved.
We took classes together. She's... amazing and super funny, and whenever we do scenes together, she is always the one who like saves my bacon. I like to think that I'm good at reading people, and I like to, especially with whatever situation I'm in, I can always see who has the value and like who's really like, not who has the value, because I don't want to say people have inherent values, but people are just, some people are good at things.
Yeah.
And some people jive well with what I'm throwing down.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can pick those
people
up pretty
quick. And as someone from Philadelphia, that humor is very particular, so it's hard to jive with everybody else. That's what I'm finding.
And I think part of it's just, you know, like Philly, people from Philly who find things funny.
Find things that are dark.
Yeah.
it's inappropriate funny.
It's a darker humor.
Yeah.
I know I've since had to kind of filter myself a little from going too dark, because I know, like my friends from college, when we would all hang out in the commuter lounge, I know what jokes work really well there, and those are fucking funny.
They should never be put on Twitter.
I can't. No, absolutely not. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I've gotten, and like, because the comedy that I like has kind of a political lean.
Right.
People up here, some of them are like, it's just not funny. It's because I want to make you think.
Yeah. I appreciate when people kind of stretch my mental, you know, capacity to, and then find the humor there. Like, I'm fine with thinking. I know a lot of people aren't.
But. Improv does that, and good improv, like good improvisers, they want to make you look good. They're always there to help you out, and it helps, you know, with socialization. Like, it's helped me to listen and react to people more, and I definitely feel that, you know, when you find those improv people that are really supportive, it's a really good. I miss improv so bad.
I'm really happy that they've kind of taken me in, because I'm drinking a cherry Coke and it's all coming up.
Corey, it's good that they took you in, because like college, it's a popularity contest. A certain improv crew up here did not take me in because I am not cool enough.
What? But look at you.
I know. My hair is pink.
With your O'Hara sweatshirt.
With my Cardinal O'Hara sweatshirt. Yeah. I haven't showered yet today.
Aren't they shutting down? Or is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So
I know someone was shutting down.
So, womp womp.
Oh, well.
But that's great that the popularity contest has come to you.
I'm super insecure about my ability to be funny.
I think all of us are.
I think everyone is. And it's a problem for me because, like, I mean, I want to say that I'm humble and, like, I don't think I'm that funny. People find me funny.
Yeah, I think you're funny.
I certainly will not look a gift horse in the mouth.
I also think you're funnier now than you were when we went to college.
Thank you. Also, I thought I was hilarious in college.
We all did.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Remember those jokes we said that should never, like, see the light of day.
Point. That's a good point.
We all grow and we mature.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you, Corey.
I'm proud of you too, Joanna. No, I'm like, you're like, really, I'm really glad that like we work with each other on all these creative projects. I think I wish we had started sooner. I wish we had started in college because we would be great today.
Yeah, but I think we wouldn't be the people that we are now if we did things differently.
Yeah, I can't.
There are a lot of things I would like to redo.
Same.
People I would like to cut out of my life.
Yeah, people I would like to undo.
Yeah, undo. Control Z.
Yeah,
But any other thing that I'm feeling in the quarantine and talking about how we think we're not funny, every single comedian that I've talked to has those same feelings. Like they look at social media, they look at what everyone else is making and they're like, you're a piece of shit. You're not making enough. You're not funny. Yeah. And it makes me sad that we all feel the same way about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said for volume and there's something to be said for quality.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you have time, and we all have time right now, doesn't mean that we should all be filling our time with creating incessant pieces of content.
Yeah, content that will be forgotten in like a few weeks.
Yeah. And
the other thing that I think that we need to do as artists, because the algorithm totally screws with us. If absolutely. You like something that you see or something that your friend does, share it. Like, that's the biggest fuck you can give to any, like, to Twitter, to Instagram, to that algorithm, is, like, share independent people's content. Don't share the Netflix trailer that you saw the other day. Share something that, like, a smaller... And the other thing about, like, the industry is, like, there's so much gatekeeping, it makes us competitive.
Oh, absolutely.
So we don't want to support one another, and that just makes the bigger corporations win even more, you know? If the little independent comedians...
Oh, yeah.
Had great interactive audiences, then we would have a lot more power on the internet in the movies we made and the content we did. But
yeah, it's really hard to like get any kind of momentum anywhere, especially because like we're all so obsessed with analytics and views, and we have to know who's watching.
Yeah, because we have to have sponsors to help us pay our bills. By the way, if you would like to sponsor the Apocalypse Podcast Network, send an email to apocalypsepodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. Okay.
Why is this the 30 Rock reunion special that just advertises Peacock, but for Apocalypse Podcast Network?
This has been like most of my recent episodes.
Oh, good.
It's just having everybody else on. I'm really, and I joke around, but like I feel like I'm being really selfish with this network because I'm just creating shows that I want to listen to.
No, that's how, I think that's how these kind of circles of content and influence, that's just how that starts, you know. It's someone with
our
a strong
very
vision,
diverse and very gay. I love
it's super gay. There's not a straight in sight, I don't think.
I think there are a few straights sprinkled in.
they hide it really well.
But it's fun, and it's, you know, a way to support each other, which is really
absolutely
good too.
It's nice to have a little circle of people who, like, I don't talk to them so often, but I'm happy to support them because we're all in a curated group of kind of like-minded sensibilities.
Yeah.
Like, I will be honest. I will probably listen to one or two episodes of everything and then not listen again because I'm the kind of guy, like, I don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm sorry, internet. I just don't.
I don't either.
And I've tried. I promise the world that I have tried, and it is just not for me. I do not know why. I just think my sensibilities don't line up, and that's fine. But I will retweet every single fucking episode that those folks make because they are funny and I like them.
Yeah, and you know, that's like we just said, that's the best way to support. And I also wanted to bring you on to say fuck you for your show sounding better than mine.
I don't know what I'm doing. I have
you have like effects. You're spooky. I just listened to your spooky episode, and sometimes you put like effects on certain words, and I'm just like, oh fuck you, Corey. I love that.
It's just GarageBand. It's just GarageBand.
No, it's creativity.
Band.
It's not just grit karate. You know what sounds good. I mean, you had some good coaching when you first started.
This is true. If it, I have, because of you, I have this thing now.
Ooh, what is that?
It's one of those little up and down arms for your microphone.
A mic stand? They call this an up and down arm.
It's an up and down thing. Yeah, because it has the springs and it goes all directions. It's very, move it. Yeah, because I noticed when I was podcasting, I fidget. You can see how much I fidget.
Yeah, I wish you would stop moving.
I can't. It's the undiagnosed ADHD.
So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what Teach Me Something Good is about?
Well, Teach Me Something Good is a podcast that aims to celebrate everything in the world a little bit at a time. I like learning stuff. You know, I was on a game show once.
Where you love game shows.
They gave me money for knowing things, and you got to chase that dragon as long as you can. So every couple weeks, me and Katie will write a book report on anything we want because we miss school. I don't know. And
research is fun. I don't care.
Research is fun. You know, it's nice to obsess over a topic for a week or two, mm-hmm. to really dive down and just become an expert in something. And we do that, and then we talk about it, and then we make dumb jokes, and then I put, I edit everything together, and I put in more dumb jokes.
Yeah, it does go, like we said, that the network is very diverse and gay, but we also teach people things. And yeah, we try to educate as much as possible.
I've noticed, Christian's podcast is utterly fascinating, mm-hmm. and has a lot of those same, like, two people sometimes talking about, like, really, like, how to be the best at something or something that they're good at. And it's just always so fascinating to listen to people, like, talk expertly on a subject.
Yeah, or something as simple as hot goss, where they take facts and they pretend it's gossip.
Absolutely.
You end up learning things when you listen to that show, too.
Absolutely.
I loved learning about bananas with your show.
Thank you. The bananas episode
was bananas.
It was super bananas. It took a lot of... I didn't think it was going to be that deep of a dive. When I started researching it, I thought bananas are interesting. I'm going to start looking it up. And then I learned that bananas don't grow on trees. And from there I thought, oh no, I have to dive deep because I didn't. That's a lie, but it's not a lie. It's the truth.
I learned some things like that there are different types of bananas. What mm-hmm. was the Tom banana?
There's the Gross Michelle and the Cavendish.
Gross Michelle. I texted my friend Michelle and I was like, did you know that there's a banana called the Gross Michelle? She loved it. But you have an episode you worked with Baltimore. What are they called? Baltimore Improv? What are they called?
Currently it's called Pop Up Improv.
Okay.
And they're transitioning to be called High Wire Improv.
Oh, well, whatever floats their high wire. But you did a live stream with Katie for Halloween called Spook Me Something Good. Oh my God. I'll tell the listeners what you talked about because. Sure. They were very interesting. I'll talk about what Katie talked about because I haven't finished it yet, but she talks about rabies, which is terrifying. Rabies is terrifying. I live in New York and there are just like upstate New York. So there are mountains of trees and people have gotten attacked by raccoons up here.
Uh-oh.
I listened to a thing on NPR and the woman, the most terrifying part of it, she said, was the fact that it was so hard for her to find the shot to prevent her from getting full-blown rabies.
Yeah.
So it wasn't getting attacked by an animal. It was the healthcare system. And she's like, sometimes I look out into the mountains at night and I just picture tons of raccoons calling into the moon, ready to attack me. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm afraid of raccoons now.
Yeah. Oh man. No, the rabies.
No, they're vicious.
The rabies episode was... Rabies it's so fascinating as a mechanism.
Yeah.
Because it truly, like, it attacks your nervous system through the neurons. And it's very proximity based, which was the thing that I think scared me the most. Like, yeah, if a raccoon bites your foot, rabies will take longer to take hold in your system because it travels up your nervous system.
Yeah, to your brain.
If a raccoon bites your face, I mean, it has pretty close proximity to brain areas. Ugh. And it's going to get you sooner, which is nutso. And the shots for rabies, it's a series of shots.
Yeah, it's not just one.
Yeah, you have to get three very quickly in order for it to not take hold. And if it starts to take hold, there's other things they can do, but it's mostly like injecting shit into your muscles.
Ugh.
Yeah, it ain't good.
That's spooky. And then you gave me, I'm listening to your topic, which was the exorcism of, what was her name? Emma?
Emma Schmidt.
Do you know what movie it was? Because there's a movie called The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I was like, is that the one?
No, I believe that's a different one. And I'm going to look it up because
there's a bunch of different ones. But it's very interesting. You go through the exorcism itself and it's a question of if this young woman was possessed by the devil or just a woman going through emotional issues.
I mean, it like...
And that's what's terrifying, is the fact that someone with mental problems was being treated for an exorcism.
And it was so sad because, you know, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist or anything like that. I make it very clear, I am an unqualified game show champion. That is my only qualification. But from what I know about, you know, sexual abuse and how people deal with that,
yeah,
you know, if you are abused as a child, you start to show aversions to things from the people who abuse you. And sometimes you also do show hypersexuality.
Yeah.
And obviously they obviously didn't know that in 1880, whatever, but it seems pretty clear now. And for this to continue to be touted as, you know, this is an exorcism, and it's not. Even if it happened at all, and I still can't find a whole lot of proof that it really happened, then it's sad, is what it is. Yeah. Because
I mean, you think about like the Salem witch trials,
right,
and the Spanish Inquisition. I mean, even the fact that they put leeches on people,
yeah,
and like let people like bleed out, basically.
For a very long time, people, and it probably still happens today, mm-hmm, for sure, but when you cannot explain something, then you make up something.
Yeah, and I think years from now, they're going to look at our medical practices and think we were crazy for doing, like, you know, opioids and,
yeah,
and not thinking about diet and just medicating everybody. I think they're going to look back at us and be like, who are these idiots just drugging everybody up?
The film, by the way, is called The Exorcism of Anna Eklund. It was produced in 2016, and it does not have a Wikipedia link, so it can't be that good.
Oh, it's probably on, like, Pluto TV or something.
Yeah, it's got one of those bad covers.
So, with your podcast,
yeah,
do you feel like this has helped you survive the apocalypse that we're going through? Do you think we're going through an apocalypse?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel ashamed for getting your guess wrong? I feel like you should have a prize.
I'll take a prize. It'd be nice. I don't get nearly enough prizes.
Your prizes. I don't have anything.
I'm not a can of water rub.
they don't sponsor us anymore, so
yeah, well, they sponsor my fucking shelves still. I have like 8 bottles of it still.
You don't use it?
I use it in anything that suits it, but I had so many left over from the game show marathon, and nobody would take. They gave us like 6 full cartons worth.
Yeah, I have a bag, but I love it. So I'm like,
it's good.
I have supply. I have a good supply.
Yeah.
Again, I like we're not talking about them because they're not sponsoring.
You can
the
cut
show
this
anymore.
Out too. You know, it's great. Goya adobo.
Fuck
so great.
Them. Fuck.
Are we still fucking them? Damn it.
Yes.
All right. I don't know. I have one bottle. I bought a giant bottle of adobo like 4 years ago, and I'm halfway through it. So I mean,
I've never bought that.
You can get the what are the other guys called? I don't remember what they're called. They're the ones in the plain white bottles, but their adobo is good too.
This is thrilling apocalypse content, talking about adobo.
You know what? Like, when the apocalypse, since we are here in the apocalypse, you need to find everything that can bring you joy.
You know, that's true. And seasonings have been doing really well in the Corona economy, is what they call, they say.
Are they calling it that?
Yeah. It's the Corona economy.
I just want to fucking stab me in the eye.
I wish I could, like, if 2020 were sitting at a chair at a conference table, I wish I could just, like, take that chair and just, like, throw it out a window.
I'd love to.
That's how
I
feel
about
2020. It's not over yet.
No. It's. Two more months.
November. Oh. We'll know how the rest of the year goes after Halloween. I'm just trying to enjoy being spooky.
Yeah. You know what has robbed a little bit of joy from my life?
What?
And it relates to the Corona economy. Fucking ew. We bought a couch. We finally saved up money thanks to our one stimulus check. Thanks to
you
that.
You got
thing.
A couch. That's wonderful.
We bought a couch finally. So we picked the couch that we wanted. It was great. It was wonderful. It was cozy. We paid for it, and they were like, "Okay, it's on back order right now, but it should be in a couple
fucking
weeks."
Assholes! I hate when companies do that. And it's like, then, when I buy it, that means I want it now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm an American consumer.
God damn it.
I understand that there is no ethical consumption under capitalism, so let's make it as unethical as possible so I can sit my ass down.
Yeah, I need to watch my TV.
I just need to sit on it. My couch is the worst. So they say, okay, we'll get it to you whenever. I think it was like 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. I'm more than happy to wait. We have time. And the only way that we can get the couch into our house, because we have a very narrow door, because we live in a town, we live in a row home in Baltimore, we have to get it through the window. Our front window comes apart. Mm-hmm. You can slide furniture in. That's fine. So my wife did not want to decorate the window for Halloween, one of the things that she absolutely loves, aww. Because she didn't want to have to take it down to get the window in. So the rest of the house fully decorated for Halloween. We've got a Ouija theme going on in the living room. There's little...
What did you call it?
Ouija?
It's a Ouija board.
I don't care. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Does it fucking
matter? Summoning the dead.
Okay. It's a spirit board. Ooh. We won't get Hasbro talking about us now. Great. Side note.
Careful with those, by the way.
It's a fucking toy. You can buy it at Toys R Us and they sell a Hello Kitty version.
I had a Ouija board when I was a kid and I will never have a Ouija board in my house again.
Why?
Let's just say that. Weird stuff happened multiple times.
Tell me.
I will never have. One time, half of it is, you know, I went into my parents' bedroom once when they weren't home and I like, something yelled at me and pushed me out the room, literally.
Oh, wow.
I had a sleepover. Here's our spooky cast. I had a sleepover once with my friends. We were like in high school, mm-hmm. and we all had the same exact dream of someone sitting. I had steps going up to my attic that was in my closet. You would open my closet and then you'd mm-hmm. go up the attic. They had a dream that someone was sitting on those steps and we all like wrote down what he was wearing and it was all accurate. I mean, he was wearing the same thing. So I was like, and when I was younger living in Philly, I had a Ouija board too and weird stuff happened. And I'm just like, never again will I ever put a Ouija board in my house.
Wow.
They're bad.
They're bad. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think pound for pound, I think the Easy Bake Oven is the worst toy for an American child than a Ouija board.
I mean, it could burn down your house, but so could a Ouija board.
Yeah,
in theory,
a Ouija
it could
board.
Possess your child, and then your child could set the house on fire.
Or diabetes.
Or mental illness. Here, look, here I go.
There you go.
It's like a wheelchair. I'm on a wheelie chair, so I'm like sliding out of the screen every once in a while.
I love it.
Conversation was, I'm just trying to take it easy. I wanted to bring you back.
Thank you.
To promote your wonderful podcast. I'm happy that you're able to express yourself with this improv group.
It's really nice. It's helpful.
I hope the podcast has been something that has allowed you to take your mind off of the shittiness of 2020.
it's one of those, it is one of the little sparkles of joy. Just even if no one listened to it, and I'm really glad that people are listening to it and are messaging me and saying you're funny and I love this and yada yada. The fact that it just makes one of my close friends very happy, top to bottom. Just, I would do it if we just recorded it, I sent her an MP3, and then we just listened to it and no one else would. Like, it just, that just makes me happy. I love all my friends very much, and to see them happy makes me happy.
Aw, well, I'm gonna end the conversation on that note, because it was very positive, and that's not like you.
No, what? Oh, okay. Oh. My brand.
My brand. Oh, it's Bruce. Well, thank you so much, Corey. And make sure you go to, we're going to have all the links in the show notes for Sweet. Teach me something good.
Ow. No, Shaka Khan owns that. We can't sing that.
No. Okay. Thanks, Corey.
I'm sure we can. I don't care.
You're ready to start that podcast. You've got all of your MP3s recorded. You've edited a few episodes, and now you're like, how do I get it on the internet? How does that happen? Do I just wish it on the internet? No, you need hosting. And the only hosting that I trust is Blueberry Hosting. Why? Because you own your content. Blueberry gives you a WordPress pro site with your hosting package so that your podcast can have a website, which is very good for SEO. And it's so much better to own your content than to try something that's free and then roll the dice, you know? So go to blubrry.com and check it out. The $20 a month package is great. It gives you the amount of bandwidth that allows you to have one episode a week. And it's a great starting point for you to invest in your show. And you know what? Because you're a listener of the show, I'm going to give you your first month absolutely free when you use the code ApocalypsePodcast at checkout. So go to blubrry.com, sign up for podcast hosting. When you're ready to upload those episodes, when you have that trailer done, use the code ApocalypsePodcast and get your first month free. That's the first 4 episodes of your show. The first month absolutely free. So do it. I believe in you. Thank you, Corey, for being my friend. Make sure you follow Corey at PackDude on Twitter and Instagram at PackDude. Subscribe to Teach Me Something Good. We will absolutely have the link to that in the show notes. And my positive thought for the day. This is a really cool story. Recognizing that food is medicine, a Boston hospital built an organic farm on its roof that provides 6,000 pounds of veggies a year for patients and staff. That is the Boston Medical Center. Cheers. Cheers to you for realizing that food can help with disease and for providing food for your staff and the poor. That is amazing. More than a 400 volunteer team tended to the garden. They had kale, collard greens, bok choy, tomatoes, carrots, oh, all my favorites, cucumbers. And it was a 2,500 square foot farm that provided habitat for bees too. Oh, they're saving the bees. Yo, murder hornets. You know, it didn't go viral because it wasn't murdering us, but they are tearing shit up with our bees and our hornets. You know what they do, those murder hornets? I know this is the positive part of the podcast, but I'm sidetracking. They go into hives and then they decapitate everyone and then they put the bodies out front and they just pile them up. And then they eat the larva, they eat the babies, and they eat all the babies, and then they move on. Man, that's fucked up. The scientists can't track them because they're too fast and they're too murdery. Oh, scary! Think of that, creepy. Talk about Halloween. Anyway, that was my positive thought for the week. You can find me at joannavanthine.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at jopincushion. Make sure you follow the podcast at ApocNowPodcast. Again, I created a Spotify music playlist that matches this podcast's overall theme. So I will have the link to that in the show notes. And I also have a Halloween bops playlist. You know, you want to listen to some Halloween bops. Yeah. Do you think it's the end of the world? How are you feeling about Halloween? What's going on? Give me a call. 920-474-6763. You can also send us an email at apocalypsenowpodcast@gmail.com. And I'd be happy, happy, happy to share your thoughts on the show. And if you like what you heard, please subscribe, leave a review wherever you get your podcasts, and go to the Apocalypse Podcast Network, apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. Binge your next favorite podcast. And special thanks to Johnny Grind, who wrote all of the wonderful themes that you heard. You can find him at thebeautyofgrind.bandcamp.com. And it's Halloween, baby. Go to mesomortalwebseries.com. Watch my short film. Get some Russian propaganda running through your veins. MEZZAMORTA web series. I wrote, directed, starred, blah, 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 blah in it. And I'll be here, not next week, but the next week, for a very special Halloween episode of Apocalypse. Now.
The camera zooms in on me.
So we get some high proof alcohol. We get gasoline. Anything that says
what makes our lives worth living is our mortality. If there were not mortality, we wouldn't be
passionate. Luckily for me, most of the beauty pageants that I've participated in don't.
I've done my fair share of blow, man.
I've always liked showing myself off naked.
Got up out of the seat, walked to me, and then slapped me.
Spontaneous conversation with people from around the world on Stranger Than Christian. Available on your favorite podcast app and at strangerthanchristian.com.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.